Still Standing is a podcast of hope. My name is Allie Patterson, and I am your host. On this podcast, you're going to hear stories from people who have encountered a living God and found help and hope in their real life. No matter what your life is like right now or what you think of God, I hope you hear stories like yours, and I hope you walk away thinking there's hope for me too. Everyone on this podcast would gladly say it's because of Jesus that I am still standing. Come find out why. Well, hey, everybody, welcome. Today, we're talking about mental health on Still Standing, and we're going to tackle the topic from a little bit of a different angle with my guest today. I'm really excited to have her in the studio, but we are going to figure out through what potentially could be a lifelong battle with mental health, in some of our cases, how do we stay standing in the middle of that? How do we have hope? How do we see light at the end of the tunnel? Because it's becoming more and more common for mental health struggles to be something that people walk through life with. This month is May, and it is Mental Health Awareness Month. I don't know if you knew that or not. And I think we have an awareness month for things that need awareness. I mean, we just want to make sure that we're talking about things that are really relevant to people's everyday life, because we want a God and a faith that can stand up in the middle of all of that. 1 in 5 adults, 1 in 6 children experience a mental health disorder every single year. That tells me that we need to be able to walk through life talking and dealing with mental health in the middle of a real everyday faith, because next year, maybe it's you. There's millions of people that this is for right now. So how do we find hope? How do we not be isolated? How do we bring God into the middle of a journey of mental health? My guest today has some real life experience with this, and she also is just so wonderfully invitational about this topic when it comes to our faith. So some churches and some communities of faith do not always feel like that. They don't always feel like they welcome the topic of mental illness and mental health struggles in the middle of a community of faith, but that's certainly not the case for my guest. She's the best maybe that I know at doing that, and she's also a friend of mine who's written, oh gosh, a handful of amazing books about Jesus. Then I think some of the things that we're going to talk about today, you can actually read through the pages of several of her books. And so welcome to Still Standing, Laura Smith. Hi.
It's so fun to be here. I love that we get to do this together.
Yes, Laura is an author, a speaker, teacher, wife, mom to 4 amazing kids. And she's just the best person I know in my everyday, like my real life, that is unafraid to tackle this topic from a faith standpoint. So I'm really glad to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here.
Good. So, okay, first question is fun, and you can't answer coffee. That's my only rule.
Fair.
What is something in your everyday life that is keeping you standing right now? Like, what's helping you face the day, face the week, be positive? You're a positive person, so what keeps you standing?
So honestly, reading my Bible every morning is what does it for me. I mean, so this current season I'm going through, I'm kind of planning, dreaming, praying through something new that I've never done before. And I open up the Bible this morning, and it's Matthew 14, which is Jesus feeding the 5,000, which we think is actually 20,000 because there were women and kids there too. But it's so interesting, right? Because the disciples are like, there's a problem, there's a problem. Like, everyone's hungry. And Jesus goes, well, you feed them. And then they're like, all we have are these couple of fish and these couple loaves of bread. We don't know what to do. And he's like, just bring them to me. And like, he prays over them, and it feeds all the crowd. And there are 12 baskets of leftovers. And it was just like Jesus literally saying, like, Laura, you go do this thing that I've told you to do. Like, you do it. I'm like, all I have is this. He's like, right. And you pray to me, and I'll make it feed whoever needs to be fed, and there will be leftovers. And I just feel like that every day when I open the Bible. It's not always like specific to my situation, but it might just be a word of peace or hope or encouragement. And so, yes, keeping me standing is the word of God.
Great. Awesome. I mean, I love that answer. Jesus and coffee. It's probably some coffee while you
read your Bible. Oh, for sure. A mocha with macadamia milk goes with that. But I'm just saying.
I started saying no coffee because everybody would say coffee.
Yeah, so. For sure.
All right. Start us off a little bit by telling us where are you? Who are your people? What are you up to right now? I said a little bit about what you do. You're obviously a writer, and you love Jesus, but tell us a little bit more about about your family and your current life situation.
Sure. I'm a mom of four. We have a 24-year-old daughter, a 21-year-old son, a 19-year-old daughter, and a 16-year-old son. We just moved the 19-year-old back home from college on Friday, the 21-year-old home from college Tuesday, and just sent him off to Michigan today, where he's going to do a 10-week traveling ministry around the country this summer.
Wow. That's cool.
So we've got a lot of comings and goings in our home. I'm married to the love of my life, who is a professor, and we live in Oxford, Ohio, home of Miami University. So we get to enjoy kind of college town living. And I get to, you know, for a living, tell people about Jesus. So it's a pretty good gig.
Give us a little taste of like your own sort of journey, just in your own personal life, before you ever thought about writing a word about it. Where did it begin? Like, how do you think about mental health in your own life? And where does that journey really start?
Yeah, sure. So growing up, I mean, you can tell by how old my kids are that I'm in my 50s. Growing up, we didn't talk about mental health.
Right.
At all. Like now, I mean, my daughters have like Mental Health Matters stickers on their laptops and like sweatshirts. And like, we didn't even use those words. So it's just a totally different ballgame. The only people I knew who went to counseling, or that you ever heard went to counseling growing up, were people who went through obvious trauma that everyone could see. Like if someone in their family died, or right, if they went through a divorce, that was the only time I even heard of people going to counseling.
Same. I actually had someone say to me, I was probably in high school, because I remember that the memory is clear to me. So it was probably high school, that only people who didn't have strong faith needed counseling.
Zoinks.
And I was like, oh. Luckily, I actually remember thinking, I don't believe that, mm-hmm, when they said that to me. Yeah. But I think a lot of people had things like that said to them.
For sure.
Impressed upon them, especially in the church.
I think
which
it's
is
still
really
being said.
Such a shame.
It's still being said, which is a shame.
That's really such a shame. So
yes,
hopefully we can bust that up a little bit today.
Yeah, let's break down those lies, yes, today. Fill us up with some truth, Lord. So I didn't even know mental health was an issue or something I should be taking care of or something to be aware of. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I was experiencing trauma in my own home. My father left us several times growing up, which is traumatic. The person that your family is depending on and relying on to lead and support and protect is just like kind of gone and then back and gone and then back. And the trauma that creates it created wounds in me and defense mechanisms in me that I didn't know were being developed because I was just living my life.
Right.
That was our home. I didn't know any different,
reality.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's so funny because everyone we knew would always say how we had like this Leave It to Beaver home, that like our family was the perfect family. Mm-hmm. And from the outside, that's what it looked like. I mean, my dad was super involved at our church, and my parents looked super sweet. My mom is amazing. You know her. Mm-hmm. You know she's amazing. It was really this weird living up to one thing and having a totally different reality at home. And my defense mechanisms that I built up were both, one, trying to be a people pleaser. With my dad leaving, that makes the little girl feel like it was her fault. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough. So one defense mechanism I came up with was trying to always do more, be more, mm-hmm, to whoever or whatever wanted something of me. Mm-hmm. The other one is I had a defense mechanism of always being a little on edge, a little anxious, because I was never sure when the next shoe was going to drop. In our home, my dad would get angry at nothing because he was living two lives, and that's hard to balance, apparently. So we never knew it would set him off. And also, I never knew when he was going to leave. So I came up with these defense mechanisms. So all of that's super unhealthy for your mental health, and especially if you're not doing anything to care for that.
Yes. And when did you kind of realize, mental health, that title, that applies to me. You know, there's something,
yeah,
to know here about the things that you now have language for. Did something happen? Did it come to a head where you realized, oh my goodness, I think I actually need some help from the outside?
Yeah. So I would say in my 30s, I started to actually realize that there had been damage done to me. Like, that I didn't even realize that until my 30s, that,
yeah,
like, these things had wounded me. And
okay, can we
things.
Talk about that for a second? Because
something
is wrong, that maybe I could benefit from some outside help.
So really, then still, my outside help was talking to my husband, finally sharing with anybody.
Okay.
You know, what had gone on in our home. No one even knew. So just talking to someone, he's my best friend. He's a great listener. To me, that was very healing, just saying out loud some of the things. And then really just turning it over to God and praying to him, because I hadn't at that point. It was just like, this was just my life. Like, you know, and starting to pray, and then God just starting to reveal into me all these beautiful places in scripture where he says what a good father he is. And that was super restorative, but it wasn't enough. Like, that was all good and healthy.
So, okay, then I assume you're going to tell me that you did another layer, which I want to hear about. But I want to talk about when you first brought this to Jesus, because so many times— mental health struggle or any other kind of struggle, we just don't.
Right.
We're either so used to it, or maybe we just don't think about bringing something to him that we've learned to live with. Sometimes for me, it's been a moment where I realize I think I gave up on this. Like, I think I just thought, this is my lot. I guess I just have to live with this pain or this scar or whatever. Why did you go to him? And what did you say?
So I think forever I thought it was my fault, because growing up, that's what it always felt like. I shouldered the blame for everything. So I thought that the pain I felt, that the shame I felt, that the way I had acted was all my fault. So I didn't feel worthy to bring that to Jesus, to be like, hey, can you help me with something that I brought on myself?
Oh, right.
Right. Like, this is all my fault.
I know I did this.
Right. Like, and I just didn't feel worthy. But then, like, when you read scripture, it says, like, over and over, that's what the gospel is.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? That we are Christ's masterpiece, that we are royal, holy, and chosen according to him, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by him, that we are redeemed by him, that we get to wear his righteousness and his salvation on us, that, like, if he is holy, then we are holy. Like, that's what the gospel is.
Right.
So the more you actually read the Bible and believe the Bible, and the more he starts to show you that it's true, then you're like, okay, if this is all true,
then it's true about me.
Then it's true about me, and there's help for me.
Right.
And I think actually Paul is such a good example to me. Like, he was awful. He brought all kinds of bad stuff on himself. He was murdering people.
Yes.
So not a good guy overall. Yeah. And yet what Jesus did to take still all of Paul's strengths that he had given him from day one, you know, and use that to literally grow so many churches, share the gospel. I mean, half the New Testament is written by him. Like, it was just this beautiful story of amazing grace, which I feel like is God's story for me, like his amazing grace. Like, he can take a mess, which is me for sure, and use it for his good and his glory, which is unbelievable.
Yes, but you had to go. You had to go to him.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that you had to do was go to him.
Yeah.
And I just find that's a step that's easy to forget.
Yeah.
You know, we'll spend years. I've talked to people who have spent years blaming God for the lack of help in their life.
Right. And they never asked for it.
And they never asked. Uh-huh. They never actually went and said whatever the simple thing you said to him was. I finally get it. There's help for me. Would you help me?
Yeah.
And that is a humble experience in and of itself. So you went further than that, though. You said healthy to talk to. Again, these are biblical things. Like, really healthy to have community. Somebody who loves you loves Jesus.
Right.
Talk to them. Healthy to go to God with this.
For sure.
And then at some point you realize it would also be healthy for me to
see a counselor. What do you know?
For me to actually go to a counselor. So why did you make that decision, and what did that add to your kind of journey?
My husband for years had been saying, do you want to see a counselor about this?
Okay.
You know, and I was just like, no, like, we're good. Right. I'm good. You listen to me. It feels so brave of me to tell anyone. So for me to tell him felt so brave and so good, and like I'd made so much progress.
And you had.
And I had. It's all true story. Not bad. He had asked me again and again and again. And then it was just a handful of years ago. I was on a walk with a good friend, and she had started to see a counselor, and she knew some of my past. And she said, hey, she's like, I think this counselor would really help you. And she just literally put her arms out in the air, and she spun around in circles. She said, counseling has made me feel so free. and she spun around. And somehow that vision of her spinning and her freedom, I was like, wow. Oh, I don't feel like that. I have goosebumps just telling you that story. But so I went home and said to my husband, I know you've told me, and I know that God used all those times Brett suggested to me counseling that he was planting that seed, right? Like if my friend had just done that, then perhaps I would have been like, maybe. But it was like the, you know, the fifth or sixth or 20th seed, right? So seeing a counselor like changed, like took me to a whole nother level of mental health because she gave me language for what had happened. Mm-hmm. She gave me like an actual diagnosis and I was like, oh, that's what I'm suffering. Dang. Like I would have never known that I suffered PTSD. Like I thought that was for something else. Mm-hmm. And then like treatments and normal behavior. So I'm like, oh, I thought I was weird because I had nightmares. I thought I was weird because I startle easily. She's like, she gives me a list of symptoms, people with PTSD, like all of those things. I'm like, check, 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 check.
Oh,
I'm like,
my.
So it's just kind of like this, oh, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
This it's just is the like, thing. Right. Like, just like if you broke your arm, you would experience swelling and pain and lack of movement, right? Like, if you experience PTSD, then you experience these things. So it's just this list, like, everyone who has been gone through some kind of this trauma also experiences those things. And to me, that was really healing. And then she just gave me so many tools on how to deal with things. And that my husband, who's amazing, he hasn't gone through psychology school. Like, he's not
right.
So he doesn't know all those things.
Yes. This I love that you said that. I think that those experts, teachers, coaches, call them whatever you want, that God brings into our life spiritually, relationally, emotionally, you know, you name it. They're like gifts to go, wait a second. No, you're not. Those weird thoughts in your head.
Right.
Yes, all your stuff does actually make sense.
Stem from something.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm the one who can help you understand that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what a gift.
What a
That's
gift.
An incredible gift.
Well, and I think if we know this, we totally know this. When our youngest was born, he had a hole in his heart. We took him to Children's Hospital. Mm-hmm. You know, we did all the tests. We saw all the specialists. And we prayed like crazy. Mm-hmm. It's the same with our mental health. We can pray like crazy for healing. And Jesus will hear us. And he wants us to come to us with all of our problems. And some people, he'll just heal. I have someone that I love who has prayed and their mental struggles have gone. But for most of us, we need the cardiologist and their team to help us heal. And so why wouldn't we see someone who is trained to help our mental health as well?
Okay. So talk about seeing counselors with a worldview of the kingdom of God, a follower of Christ, whether they're in a Christian practice or not, versus seeing a counselor or a therapist who either consciously holds that back, so you just don't know, or does not and doesn't even attempt to bring that into your counseling. Was that important for you? Do you have opinions about that?
So for me, that was very important because I live my life trying to see things through Jesus's point of view. So I needed someone who could relate to me on that level. So my counselor is a Christian. She sees a ton of people who aren't Christians. But if I bring up Jesus, like, we can pray together. And she'll be like, I think God actually, I'll be like, I think God was telling me this. She's like, I also, she's like, God is telling me to tell you this. Like, so I love that so much. And that's super helpful for me because that's how I see everything. And I need personally, I need to be like, well, I was praying through this and God showed me this and have someone not be like, what? Like, what do you mean God told you something? Like, if they're not, if they don't have a relationship with the Lord, they just might think that was wacky instead of being like, oh, okay, well, so what did God tell you and how does that inform your mental health? Right.
So did you just ask during your first session or did you know that because of
your friend?
So my friend
is a Christian and she, you know, specifically said that. But listen, I also have friends and people I care about very much who see counselors who aren't Christians and these are Christian friends because maybe that's what their insurance covers. I think caring for your mental health is so important. And if what you can access is not through a Christian counselor, but you're still getting help, like I still see medical doctors who aren't Christians. Because they are still trained in that area. They know how to set a bone. They know how to like read a blood test, like kind of thing. So is it even cooler if they're Christians Absolutely. But I think depending on your situation and what you can get, if you need care for your mental health, then I suggest that you get care. And if you can't find a Christian counselor right now, like if finances are an issue because mental health care is expensive and you can get it without, you know, like I just suggest that you get help, but okay, that you hold your faith as your true north throughout that.
Yeah. How can you look back now and see where Jesus was keeping you standing that whole time? Like,
oh my gosh.
How do you think about that when you remember his work over that period of time? And I know, you know, none of us are perfectly healed, right? So I'm sure to some extent you're still, yes, you're still on a journey out of those things and healing from some of that. But how do you look back and see his hand in it and his work to help you stay upright during some of it?
Gosh, a million and ten times. I could spend the next several weeks telling you all the times. But
I mean, your friend is one, right?
Right. Oh, for sure that she would do that. My husband, my goodness, how he supported me. And honestly, I believe fully that God brought my husband Brett into my life to show me what the love of Jesus looks like, because my dad didn't show me that. He couldn't. And I didn't believe that kind of love was available to me. So even if the Bible said that that's how Jesus loves us, I was like, yeah, but not for me. No one could love me if they knew about me and what I've done and like how not good enough I am. And I feel 100% that God put Brett in my life. Brett knew all about me. We'd been friends before we ever dated, and he knew my good and bad, and he loved me so perfectly. And I don't think by any means everyone's answer is a man or a spouse or a relationship. That's just what God did for me. Mm-hmm. Because I think God knew Laura will never understand how much I love her unless I put a man in her life who loves her like I do, to show her that the man in her life that should have loved her mm-hmm. like I do.
It was like a healing thing.
And
like
I believe gracious. Jesus totally did that for me.
And that was many years before you knew that.
Yeah.
That's what's so cool about that, because God is working for us and for our healing well before we're ever aware of it.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, that brings tears to my eyes, because I can think back in my own story and see some of those same moves of God way before I ever thought to ask him to heal me.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm so glad you asked. I've actually already been working
on
that.
I've set up all of these things.
I'm so glad you asked me, because now I can, you know, like all these things that he was already had already set about putting into place.
So much so. So much so.
What else do you see when you think about that?
I just see some specific moments of protection that God put over me in situations.
Like, give us a good one.
Okay. I've never told anyone this except for my family. You ready?
Yes.
All right.
I am so ready. I love that.
At one of my daughter's soccer games, and my dad was going to come to cheer for my daughter. And I have a really hard time seeing my dad because of the pain. And now even that I've identified what it is, it triggers even more than when I was living in the lie that everything was okay, right? We're at this game, and my dad was there, and I get nauseous before I see him, like physically feel like I'm going to throw up. I get super anxious. And we're there, and all of those things, I'm having like a full-on anxiety attack at the game because my dad is sitting next to me. And I just kept praying. I'm like, Jesus, just be between me and him. I know you're so close. I know you're so close. Just please be between me. Just please protect me. Like, just, I know you can fit in this space. And I literally saw Jesus there. Like, I saw him there sitting next to me. And it just overwhelmed me with how much he cares about me.
Yeah.
Like, I will protect you. I am here. And like, he was always there, whether I saw him or not. But in that moment, again, Jesus does exactly what he knows we need. He knew I needed to see him to survive that moment and to remember for future moments. That's where he always is always next to me.
Yeah. Wow. What a visual.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I mean, you go through life and you might not ever see him, right? Like, I feel like that was such a special gift he gave me.
Yeah, that's incredible. I'm sure you've recalled that a number of times, since then.
So many times. Like, as I was just telling you, I can picture the bleachers we were sitting in. I know where I was sitting. I know where Brett was next to me. I know where my dad was in relationship. I know what color jersey my daughter had on. Like, I can see the whole thing.
Wow.
I know we went to Chipotle afterwards and I just lost it. I'm in the car sobbing. Brett's like, are you okay? Like, Maddie lost, but she's okay. I'm like, no, it's not that. I'm like, I saw Jesus. He's like, what?
He's like, okay, back up.
All right.
Let's rewind to that moment. But if your dad represents at the very least you feeling unprotected.
Right.
I mean, at your core, just completely unprotected.
Right, vulnerable.
Yes.
In danger.
And there he was saying, absolutely not.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I am absolutely here and over that situation.
Yeah.
If someone's listening and they're thinking they're somewhere along their own journey of realizing what they need to be stronger, to be more healed, to be living life more abundantly due to their mental health, whatever that means for them, could mean any number of things. What would you say are the best things that you could do for yourself along the way?
I'm so glad you asked.
Oh, yay. Okay, great.
I think the first thing is just know that Jesus cares so much about your mental health. Mm-hmm. Like, he literally has numbered every hair on your head. Mm-hmm. So, of course, he cares about your mental health. Like, it's not something that you have to separate and deal on your own. It's not, no matter what's been done to you or no matter what you've done or no matter what thoughts enter your brain, he cares so much and he wants fullness, wholeness, wellness for you.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important thing to just hold tight to. Like, when you're having a really hard day, Jesus cares and he wants better for you.
Yeah.
So knowing that, knowing how much he loves you and that he wants fullness and wholeness for you, that that is his end game, then we can partner with him by taking care of ourselves.
Right.
Like, it matters so much. We need to care for ourselves. And my thing that I've learned so much in the writing of books and my own journey and all my research is that most of the main mental health practices are biblical, which I love.
100%.
And makes so much sense.
And tell us a few of the things that you mean.
Okay, so this makes so much sense because Jesus designed us. He designed us for goodness. So, of course, the things he would design us for would be good for us and our mental health.
Right.
Right.
Perfectly
right.
Makes
totally
sense.
Makes sense. So being outside is one of the biggest things that is great for our mental health. And I'm sure anyone who's been outside in some silence, in some beauty, knows this. You look at a mountain, you look at a sunset, you hear the rainfall, like, you hear a stream, you're by the ocean, you see right now the birds are in full strutting feathers, like bright yellow, bright red. Like, you can't, and I mean, you can't help but to be healed some by being outside. Well, God created the Garden of Eden and all of the heavens and the earth. And so it makes so much sense when we're out in his creation that it would be healing for us.
And so fascinating. So being outside is one.
Okay, prayer. This is, I mean, it makes sense. Like, right, that prayer would be good for our mental health. But so all of this mental health research will say, you know, meditation is good for your mental health, taking those silent moments, turning over your problems thought by thought. But in all the studies that also involved prayer over meditation, the difference, the people who prayed had greater decreases in their anxiety and depression, greater increases in their positive thoughts, mood boosting, than people who just simply meditated.
So fascinating. So prayer, I assume you're going to say rest. Are you going to say rest?
Oh, yes, rest.
Of some sort.
Rest, right? The first thing any psychologist, psychiatrist, counselor will ask, are you getting enough sleep?
Mm-hmm.
And are you, like, eating well and drinking well? Like, are you actually caring for your body?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first goal. Well, again, like, God created Adam and Eve. Well, he created the world. Then he creates Adam and Eve. And then he tells them, go do this work. Tend to this garden. Care for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because work is important, guys. God gives us good work. Don't discount that. He's not telling us to be lazy. As soon as he tells them, go tend to this garden, there's work for you to do. The next thing he invents is Sabbath.
Right.
Like, so there's a lot of important stuff I want you to do, but I want you to do it from a place of rest.
Yeah.
And he doesn't just want us to take a rest from things. He wants us to go into things rested.
Yeah.
A lot of times from Psalm 23, where it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Mm-hmm. I just think sometimes that's when I'm sick. It's I haven't been taking care of myself. And Jesus is like, I'm making you lie down.
Yeah. And I'll bet most people listening can identify the one thing you kind of know you're not taking very good care of yourself.
sure.
You're doing too much of something or not enough of something. And probably we could all pretty much say what the first one or two things would be off the top of our head. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else?
I mean, there's a lot. Being creative, doing anything creative, whether that's cooking or writing a poem or if you're like scientific, doing a lab experiment or creating a code, like putting together outfits, rearranging a room, whatever your creative thing is, writing a song. God's the original creator and he put part of himself in us. That means we all have creativity in us. And when we exercise that creativity muscle,
it feels so good for our mental health.
It's so good. Community is something, again, that all mental health experts will like immediately want to plug you into some sort of community. Do you have support? Do you have people you can talk to? Community is biblical from Adam and Eve on day one. Noah got to take people with him on the boat, right? Like, Abraham needed Sarah to travel with him. You have Ruth and Naomi going together. You certainly have the disciples. Like, community.
He built a nation, so he chose a family, right?
I mean, community is from the get-go. Stir one another on to love and good works, right? Where two or more are gathered in his name. He is there in our midst. So that's so biblical. And it's true that when we have community, like for me, when I first started talking to my husband, when you can share with people, it is so good for your mental health.
All amazing. Well, I really, really appreciate all your wisdom and insight because it feels so accessible to me. It feels like this is a woman who has the wisdom of the Word of God and an authentic walk through a real life and real hurt, but that has figured out a couple layers in of how Jesus meets us in the middle of that. That path toward healing. So I said at the beginning, I think that you've kind of written a little about this in several of your books, but you do have one that is a little bit, you go a little bit further. Tell us, like, if we want to know more of you and kind of your thoughts about this and all of these things, I assume you think they come out in your writing. I would agree. Tell us about your couple recent books and then where people can find those and interact with you and your ministry a little bit more.
Sure. Absolutely. I had two books released last year. One is Restore My Soul, and it's all about the Psalms, but it's really how like digging into the truths of the Psalms will help us restore our souls, which is helping our mental health for sure. The beauty there of God's promises of who he is and how he loves us and how he'll never leave us are just beautiful things to hold on to in our daily lives and our traumas as well. My most recent book that released is 5-Minute Devotions for Teens, A Guide to God and Mental Health, which is a mental health devotional for teenagers. But a lot of parents have been telling me that they're going through it with their teens and that it's helping them too. So they're just quick little 5-minute devotions that everybody has time to do with a quick reminder of how all this stuff is biblically connected, that like God does want good mental health for us. And then my next book that's releasing next year is a grown-up book on faith and mental health. So that releases in February. So that's sometime from now. But I just saw they just put up the little entry on Amazon. It's not available for pre-sale yet, but it's coming soon.
Are you allowed to tell the title if you're still before pre-sale?
Yeah, okay. Tell it. I don't care. It's called Holy Care for the Whole Self, because this is a whole holistic thing. Caring for mental health is part of our overall caring for our faith and our bodies, minds, and souls. So
yeah. Great.
Yeah.
I do think that this is just something that oozes out of you as an encouragement for others because of your own journey. And that's why I said I think it's just really apparent in your writing that you want to care for the fullness of somebody, you know, from the inside out, mentally, emotionally, relationally. It's all one thing that is certainly all spiritual. So thank you. And wait, tell them also you have a great you have a great connection with people over email, too, where you share some of this. So how can people find you online? And if they want to interact with you that way, join your list.
Absolutely. My website is laurasmithauthor.com. You can sign up for my emails there. My blogs are all up there. I also post Monday through Saturday, but I always take Sundays off because Sabbath and we need the rest on social media. So you can find me on Instagram at Laura Smith Author and Facebook is Laura L. Smith Author because of the Smith thing. I'd add in the middle initial L. So Laura Smith Author, if you remember that, you can find me in all those places. And I love to remind people how much Jesus loves them.
Yep. And you won't be sorry you followed Laura. She's wonderful. And like often I think, oh, what a breath of fresh air in the middle of my day. So it will be, I'm sure, the same for you. So thank you so much for being on Still Standing.
Thanks
and just a huge encouragement that Jesus can, will, and wants to, above all, help you stay standing and give you hope no matter what your mental health is like right now. So hopefully this has encouraged you to go one step further in your own mental health journey. We'll see you soon. Hey, thanks for listening. For all things Still Standing, head over to theallypatterson.com. You can find my new book, How to Stay Standing, as well as other resources, including articles, Bible studies, and all kinds of resources just for you. No matter where you listen to podcasts, would you leave us a rating? Maybe even a written review? It helps others find this podcast, and we want to help as many people as possible bring hope and courage into the middle of life storms. If you want to connect more with me, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook at The Allie Patterson. Still Standing is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.